Good evening and welcome to this week's Politically Incorrect with Andrew Schechter. This week's Politically Incorrect is State of the Nation and the World. Brought to you by EternalAffairsMedia.com, also known as EA Truth Media. Your host tonight is myself, Andrew Schechter, author of Darkwater Game Over, and two-time delegate for Donald Trump to the Republican National Convention. Please help with a donation at donate.eamedia.online or by buying some bling at store.eamedia.online. Please help keep truth online. Maybe you could send me some decongestant too. The pollen is terrible out here in northeastern Pennsylvania. We'll try and make it through tonight. Everything conspires against this poor show, but we're here. We're going to do it. We'll open with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight for resolution to the struggles across the world. We pray the struggles in the with Israel and Palestine resolve without further hurting citizens. We pray the Russians and the Chinese play nice. We pray that the world gets better as the pandemic ceases. We know you will be there with us to help along the way. We pray these things in your gracious, glorious, heavenly name, O Lord. Amen. As usual, our donor list includes Elisa, Reverend Dave, Felicia, and Catherine. I'd like to see some more names on there. You're always welcome to show up, and a few bucks thrown our way, I'll put you on the list and make us happy. Keep the show running. Maybe I can buy a new microphone, too. Now, last week, it was the internet. This week, it's the hardware. I started to do the show, and the microphone fell apart. I got rubber bands and scotch tape holding together. So long as the internet holds out, crossing our fingers, and God's with us, this show will go on. Every Wednesday night, I pray that the day will go well on Thursday, and the Lord always comes through. Praise God. Praise Jesus. So tonight, it was we had a couple of topics were going to come and they didn't pan out. And there's always some spare topics, but right now the big issue is a mixed bag of what's going on in the world and where we're headed. We all know the crisis in the Mideast. And, you know, What's this all about? Well, the true history is that the Israelis commandeered Palestine and intended to take it over, but by force. Palestinians didn't want to submit to the Israelis. Typical colonialism, they're saying these days. So who's to blame? You know, where's the fault? Need to look deeper into these things than just to one side. But no matter what, no matter who the people are, no matter what their beliefs or philosophies, no matter how much you love or hate their religion or their beliefs, it's no excuse for shelling innocent women and children. Now, that's a total violation. The very word of God, the very commandments of God, thou shalt not kill. And how do you defend yourself? Double-edged sword, folks. It just shows the rampant evil in this world. And it's been there all along. You go through the Crusades, you go through the Nazi Germany and World War I even. There's no excuse for it. There really isn't. What for? A piece of land, a political belief, religious belief? But something to think about is, how do you defend yourself? Now everybody cries about the issue with abortion, and yet forgets that there are religions that allow abortion. How do you put the world together. How do you justify that kind of death and that kind of killing? And yet those same people that justify abortions, that don't justify the killing of children and innocents in foreign lands. It's just a mixed up world. I mean, everything is just so totally mixed up. And that's why we're in the situation that we're in right now. Now, nothing's really changed. You know, in the Trump era, they were trying to stop a pipeline that had in Russia that had nine miles left to go. Now everybody's complaining that Biden's letting it through. Oh, we should have let, you know, Keystone XL. We could have used Keystone XL. We need the fuel. But we didn't have 9 miles. We had thousands of miles to go with that. Two different scenarios. We gained nothing. We lost nothing from Biden conceding to the Russians and to the Germans. Biden hasn't really done anything since January 21st. Think about it. Nothing has changed for good or for bad. There are lots of threats made, but nothing has changed. Nothing will change because we still have some intelligent people in the Senate. We still have some intelligent people, at least 70 million of them in the United States of America. And in Pennsylvania, we've proven that no matter whether you're Democrat, Republican, conservative, or liberal, you believe that our governor is a complete loser and a tyrant. We got well over 50% in favor of a bill that allows the Congress to override the governor and gives the governor only 21 days of authority to enact a crisis, an emergency. Think about that. All the Philadelphians and all the ones from Pittsburgh and Scranton that voted, not only voted down Donald Trump, would express their vehement hatred for all things Trump and all things conservative, voted to censure our governor. You know, I'm a little bit proud of that. I'm proud that people finally realized that our rights are being violated. The rights of the Constitution of the United States of America, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania were being violated. And other states, one by one, are doing the same thing. I think it's over 8 or 9 states that have already put limits on the governor's powers. And our governor's race comes up next year in Pennsylvania. A lot of them do. And you know what the Republican Party is doing? Oh, my God. You know, I need to watch what I say because, you know, I can only live by the Republican Party because there's really only Republicans and Democrats and a bunch of sore losers at the bottom that call themselves other party. But if you want to win an election, you need to be either Republican or Democrat, and I won't be a Democrat. But our party has picked the biggest loser, in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to run for governor. And it's a fellow that I like, did a great job in past incarnations. Was a, you know, a problem was that he couldn't win a statewide election to save his soul. And they know it. He's got money. He's got enough money to put you, me, your kids, your grandkids, your neighbor's kids, and everyone in your neighborhood to through college. And then some. And the Republican Party loves that. That's why they like Trump. You know, the Republican Party hated Donald Trump in 2016. Cleveland at the convention, their goal was to oust him, to throw him out of the convention, overthrow him. Then he started feeding money to him over the course of the next 4 years. Suddenly they loved him. They still love him. because of money. Not because he's a good person. Not because he was a great president. Because they gave him money. Because they stole money from him. They commandeered money from accounts that had his name attached to them. And all the money went to the Republican Party. None of it went to President Trump for his reelection campaign. And now they're doing the same thing. And they want to run a total loser. And you're right, he was a great president. He still is a great president. He's going to be a great president. But now the Republican Party in Pennsylvania wants to run another, a total loser for the U.S. Senate. Jeff Bartos, a criminal, a thug, a good friend to Fetterman, our vice governor. One of the most horrible, miserable people you'll ever meet. And they're going to run him for Senate. All over again. Here we're going to lose again. Why would you do that? So I had an interesting thing. We're going to get some jumping around here on different topics that came up during the past week or so. And I mentioned during our talk on cryptocurrency that didn't go so well because of the technical issues. And last week on a podcast about cryptocurrency and how it sequesters money. And right now, all the trillions of dollars that the government's printed is being sequestered in cryptocurrency. And it's proven fact that all of a sudden you see Elon Musk pull out of Bitcoin and a bunch of others pull out of Bitcoin and one, what they call a wallet, which is basically where you store your cryptocurrency. But usually when they call it a wallet, they'll call it a whale if it's got a lot of money in it. One whale dumped equivalent of $2 trillion. If he had cashed in his cryptocurrency, he would have collected $2 trillion. Guess what, folks? There ain't $2 trillion in the crypto budget. See, cryptocurrency, let's back up. Anything a rich person does to get rich is a pyramid. Anything a rich person does to get rich is a scam. Rich people don't know how to make an honest dollar. We start with the Social Security scam and the Medicare scam. Social Security was great when you started out because money was going into the budget and nothing was coming out. Bottom of that pyramid was fat. And it was making money because money was making money. Banks were having 4, 5, 8% interest on CDs. At one point, it was 12%. And the government was making money. Social Security was making money. Medicare was making money. Then the crap hit the fan and there was no interest rates to be had. And the government's not allowed to speculate, nor they're allowed to buy stocks. They're left with 0.5, 0.1%. And suddenly all the baby boomers are turning 65 and retiring. Oh, you can watch that pyramid collapse just like Giza in a thunderstorm. There ain't that money in the budget. It's not designed for that way, for that. The U.S. dollar is not designed to be spent. The U.S. dollar is designed to be sequestered in banks and in investments. That was a topic from last week. No more than 10 to 15% of sequestered investments are ever supposed to be turned into cash. By sequestered investments, I mean everything from bank accounts, cryptocurrency, to Social Security, even to your own home. Now, if everybody went up tomorrow and decided we're going to all move out of country, we're going to sell our homes, there wouldn't be enough money to pay for all of them. It's not how the system works. The system works by cheating. There never is enough money to pay everyone, which is why we had the Great Depression. And when cryptocurrency hit the fan, everything dropped 80%. And then only the good ones came back up. The ones that weren't held by big rich bastards and big rich corporations. And I'm sorry, I'm going to apologize in advance to any of the libertarians out there. You know, libertarians have some great ideas, you know, smaller government, lots of great ideas and lots of really stupid ideas. And there's two people I can't get along with. I just don't get along with really well. There's two people. I mean, I can get along with people that are other religions, even ones I don't believe in. The two people I really cannot get along with and grate my nerves are atheists and libertarians. Because libertarians think that free economy, that a free market economy is Walmart. That a free market economy is Facebook, and Twitter. That a free market economy is Amazon. Folks, nothing could be further from the truth. Every corporation making more than $10, $20 billion a year deserves to be put in jail because they've stolen and cheated and lied to make that money. They've taken our money and squandered it. They've actually gone, and this is they truthfully do this because I was involved in this when I worked at GE Capital many years ago. I saw this happen. They figure out how much money you have in your wallet, and then they figure out what percentage of it they can steal from you before you rebel. That's honest to God truth. That's a fact. No business deserves to operate in that manner. And any business that locks in the economy, that forces a payment of a certain amount based on how much money you have, is not a free market. When you can't compete for the price of gasoline or truly compete for the price of electricity, it's not a free market. You know, I get calls all the time, you know, you're paying too much for your electricity. I say, yeah, so what? Well, you shouldn't pay. You're going to pay twice as much. I go, yeah, I pay $12 for my electricity, and it's going up to $20 a month. And the corporate conglomerate monopoly that holds the wires that carry that electricity or charge me another $100 on top of that. Give me a discount and a break on that, and I'll turn tail and head the other way. I'll meet you in the middle. God, I hate big companies and rich people. I'm sorry. And the dumbest rich people are the ones that don't work for it. The ones that work 10 years throwing a ball across a field and you're getting paid $10 million a year to do that. Absolutely no human being, no wage, no job is worth that salary. Hey, Eric, going on a rant tonight. My equipment's been giving us trouble and got me really mad. And my community's got a grudge against me. Ran an election for council this past week. And they still have a grudge against me. I won the election, but I won't win in the fall because they got five people running in only four slots. They're mad at me. You know why? You know why the community is mad at me? Because I fought for my rights. I took the council and the city to court because they weren't abiding by the laws of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and they hate me for that because I was defending my rights. You know what? They can take their freaking burrow and stick it where the sun don't shine. If they don't appreciate someone that knows business and understands law and is willing to fight for their rights, that's the kind of person you want running your community. Not someone that's throwing pizzas for a living and doesn't have any idea how to run anything. But that's okay. I'll make sure to be at those meetings, every single one of them, and I'll be getting my two cents in. But it's a shame that the world has come to that, that people will hold a grudge for something you did right, yet not take the other person to task that did something wrong. I don't get it. I just don't get it. So when a cryptocurrency dropped, now that was the thing, because a lot of these big companies threw their cryptocurrency out. And all of a sudden, the crap hit the fan. The Fed started getting worried. You know why? Because all that money is now in circulation. That money that should have been sequestered and stashed away is now coming out. And unless it gets put back somewhere and it gets hidden away again, you're going to be paying $50, $60 for half a pound of meat. You know, they have no respect. No cares and no concerns. It's not a free market. It's not a free economy. And libertarians got to wise up one of these days. I don't have a problem with people that look at the facts and the figures. But you don't have a free market when you're fixing prices. You don't have a free market when you're setting prices based on how much money you can pull from someone. That's not a free market. Free market is the mom and pop down the street that's trying to stay afloat in the midst of a pandemic and being shut down by the governors and other officials. That's free market. People are out there trying to make a buck. And how do you change that? I don't know how you change that. I honestly don't. But the whole world is in lockstep. That's the other scary part. Now, there was some rules put out by the World Bank and some of the others that we spend money like water, spend as much as we can. You know what that amounts to in the long run? I'll tell you what's a free market. I'll tell you what's an interesting free market. Everybody's complaining about the minimum wage. Now, for years, I've been saying that the wages have not kept up with inflation. And I don't think it's the government's place to set wages. I really don't. There, I agree with the libertarians. You know, what happened? What happened? All of a sudden, people don't want these jobs. And it's like, we don't want your jobs. They suddenly need people. They're crying. They're begging. As a guy in construction was offering over $60 an hour for someone to dig ditches. You know, when I was a kid, I used to dig ditches for $5 an hour. I thought that was pretty good wages back then. $60 an hour. You know, they're paying Dollar Tree warehouse operations, $20 an hour. Now, what you need to think about is that this is actually the right thing to do. It's the right thing for the businesses to realize that they're not paying their employees enough. How the hell are you going to sell your products when your employees can't afford to buy them? For the last 20 years, our salaries have been stagnant. For the last 20 years, prices have been rising exponentially every year. Out of control. Finally, there's a wake-up call. People aren't going to work for $10 an hour. You can't. People aren't going to work for even $15 an hour. Now, I think it was Bank of America just said that by 2025, they're going to be paying a minimum wage of $25 an hour for any jobs at the company. And you know what? When you look at the curves, when you look at the price of goods and the wages, that's probably a fair wage. No, and I agree. And Eric, for those who don't see the comments, Eric is in a studio and notes that raising the minimum wage to $15 or higher doesn't make sense. And setting any minimum wage doesn't make sense, literally. Because people are going to work where they can afford to work. And right, and exactly, there's long-term and short-term careers. You know, why does a manager at, say, McDonald's, managers, and just to correct you, Eric, there are some managers. I know some people that are really happy in management. They've gone and become multi-store managers, regional managers. That's a long-term job, and they've started at that lower level. But most of those lower-level jobs are designed for students, people out of work temporarily, first jobs, that sort of thing. And exactly, work your way up the ladder. Exactly right. And, you know, it's funny because the jobs that really matter are the ones that pay the least. The jobs that people need, they're getting rid of. You know, some of the toughest jobs should be paid decent wages. You know, a fireman should be paid a decent wage. Cops get decent wages these days. They didn't used to, but the unions pulled that in for them. But, you know, firefighters should be paid a decent wage. Even ditch diggers, people that have hazardous careers should be making decent money. And great comments too. And I love watching the comments, especially when there's certain people that come on. But yeah, no, the comments are really great. And I agree 100%. You know, you need to look at what is your future. You have to decide where your future is. You know, my future was designed to be a poor person. I follow, you know, the path of Jesus, so to speak. Family comes first, community comes second, and all the rest comes later. You know, if you're not happy with what you're doing, if you can't tend to your family, and I wish I could spend more time with my family. I had a career that eventually took me out of the area too often. But for the most part, I was with my family. I didn't strive to go up the ladder to move all over the country. But I worked for community. I built a community. I worked for fire service, emergency services. And I did what I enjoyed. And it's been a tough life. But I'm not committed to work. Work is important, but it's not the last thing. Now, I want you to think about this. How happy can Bill Gates possibly be? You know, Donald Trump actually shows what it's like to be happy. Donald Trump ran for president just because he wanted to, and he thought it was fun. And people followed him because of that, because he wasn't running for president to get a paycheck. He wasn't running for president for fame. In fact, he lost most of his money running for president and being the president. That's true dedication, and that's dedication not to a career, but to a life. You know, God gave us these great vessels we call the human body. They're supposed to be respected. They're given by God. They're not given to be abused. They're given to be temples to the Almighty. And if we don't respect that, if we don't, what do we do in our life? Are the chains we build, just like in the movie about Ebenezer Scrooge, those chains we build in life will follow us in death. You may think no one's there watching, but you know, we're not all alone here. We're being closely watched. And family is so important because it's the little things. Now, I see this now that I've got kids and now grandkids, and the kids have all moved away. And when you sit down with them and they start talking about the little things from their childhood, the little things like my daughter who puts a little post-it note up saying, "Make Dad's chicken and rice Thursday." the daughter that's got the cast iron pan that I gave her when she moved out on her own, hanging on the wall and with pride. Not only do they warm your heart, but it shows that a piece of you has passed on for the next generation and the generation to follow. People accused me of tough love for my kids when they were growing up. And it's funny because I never denied my children anything, but I never gave them everything. What they wanted for, they worked for it. The more they helped me, the more they saved me time or money. The more they helped with the house, the more I was willing to give them. You know? And they learned that if they want something that's expensive or they want something that I don't agree with, they can have it. They got to make their own money to get it. They got to learn to barter. They got to learn to work. And I always like to tell a story about my son. Most wonderful human being on the planet, at least one of them. Used to call him out. He'd be in there playing video games or messing with a computer. He wanted to be a computer engineer. Realized later on in life that that's not something he had a real talent for or cared for. But I'd call out to him when I was working on the car. I was working on the car because I was too broke to afford a mechanic to work on it. But I'd call out. I'd hand him a wrench and say, go under there and take off the muffler. Go under there and do this or that. How do I do it? Well, just look at it. You'll figure it out. We worked on cars. We worked on electrical systems. We worked on the house. We worked on construction. All the time he was growing up. And finally he says, Dad, I got a job. Really? This week he worked at McDonald's for a while, like everybody else. But finally he said, I got a real job, Dad. He was proud. Boy, was he proud. He walked into a shop and he said, look, I see you're hiring a mechanic. I'm your man. When can I start? Literally what he said. Literally what he said. He never had any experience as a mechanic. This was a chemical plant. They said, okay, you're hired. They hired a kid. It wasn't for 5 years that they realized he had no certifications and no education. By that time, they were calling him the best guy that they had on the job. And he was getting paid two or three times what I was getting paid as an electrical engineer. Plenty of overtime work, and he loved it. All because he wasn't pampered. He was forced to work his way through and learn. He wasn't ignored by his dad or his mom. Every one of my kids went through the same path. I could tell you 10 stories. I had 5 kids, 10 stories I could tell. But you got to work for it. It's like Donald Trump. When Donald Trump ran for president, he came to Pennsylvania. We asked him, where's the handouts? What handouts? The ones we're going to give the people. Where's the signs that we can put on the lawns? Signs? You didn't print any signs? No, Trump didn't give us a darn thing to work with. But he wasn't being rude or ignorant. He was putting us to the task. And we went and we won that election for Donald Trump without any of his money. We printed the signs. We created the websites. We printed handouts. We walked door to door. The good father. That's a good father image. And his kids are the same. Now, you know, look at Hunter Biden as opposed to Trump's kids. Now, you know. Okay, they're enough said, I suppose. Enough said. But we've gotten far off topic. So at some point, well, I saw an interesting thing today, and I think it was on RT America. I watch RT America a lot, even though some of the, a lot of it's garbage. But some of it's kind of interesting. One of the things they were saying, that one of the commentators saying, I can't remember who it was now, but it was a respected person, said something to the effect that the economy is not going to break. We're not going to go into out of control inflation. And one of the things that did that is the pandemic, because the money's being sequestered. People are staying home. And little by little, people hopefully will get back to work. But the fact of the matter is that our economic system is fairly well balanced. And the money, we're saving a lot of money right now, and it's going back into accounts. People are staying home or working from home. Jobs have changed. And all that money, where's that money going? All that money's going into investments and into, I call the money pit. You know, cryptocurrency is funny. Someone asked, what's cryptocurrency worth? It's worth nothing. Well, dollar bill that you have in your hand's worth nothing either. It's a piece of paper with a picture printed on it. It's worth about a thousandth of a cent. It's backed by nothing other than the word of our government. Yet you'll trade those pieces of paper for hard labor. You'll trade those pieces of paper for a roof over your head, for a meal. Yeah, and cryptocurrency is the same way. China sees the value of it. I don't like to talk about China too much, but China sees the value. And now the U.S. is looking at the value of electronic currency. I don't think it's ever going to be totally replaced. And I hope not. But China has just outlawed and banned cryptocurrency other than their own. And now the United States, the IRS suddenly realized, hey, we got to hold these people accountable because they're trading this cryptocurrency and not paying taxes. You know, you'll get asked the question on your tax form, did you trade any crypto? But it's up to you to be honest and tell them that. I didn't trade any crypto. No. As long as you don't do it in increments greater than $10,000. You know, you're pretty safe. $10,000 what I call under the radar. You do things in $10,000, in less than $10,000 sums, nobody even looks at you. If you do that 10 times, that's $100,000. That's how the drug lords and the criminals do it. The government doesn't like that because they don't have control over it. You know, they just took over the internet by taking over Amazon and eBay and forcing them all to collect their taxes. Now, don't get me wrong. The states are deserving of their tax money. It's always been on the honor system when you order something from out of state. But how often did you used to order stuff out of state other than from a Sears catalog? And now, you know, suddenly they're seeing this cryptocurrency and people are sliding under the radar. And the IRS wants to tax them, and the states want to get their sales tax. But how can you complain? It's the law. You know, it's the law. You're supposed to be paying it. I just don't like them sticking their dirty fingers in my business to begin with. One thing I agree with the libertarians on is the IRS should be abolished. All they are is the policing liaison for the federal government. Now, their goal is to get as much money that you owe them. Whether you owe it or not doesn't matter. They're going to jackboot you and force you to pay it. And that's another thing with tax time. Yeah, repeal the 16th Amendment. I'm glad you mentioned that. But yeah, no, the tax time, my sister calls me up. She says, hey, check this out. She was curious about the, she was on unemployment last year. She was a school substitute and was laid off. She says, where do you put this in the tax form? It's less than $10,000. They say you don't have to pay tax on it, but you have to report it. But the tax form has no place to report it. You know, the simplified, the quote, simplified tax forms are so complex. You got to pay someone to do your taxes now, regardless, because they're so, it used to be so easy. You get a postcard if you worked at McDonald's and said, I made this, I don't owe any taxes, get lost. Or my taxes are good, get lost. Not anymore. So complicated, it's just unbelievable. When I go in, it costs me $1,000 to have H&R Block do my taxes, and I'm not a rich person. But because I mess around with things like stocks and real estate investment trusts, every one has a different form, and every form costs you $100. And the forms are totally nonsensical. Even H&R Block has a tough time. They're like, what is this? Sometimes they've never seen an investment I come through with. And what is this? I don't know. It's what I invested in. This is what they reported. Well, I don't have a form to put that on. Oh, sucks to be you. What an evil system. What a totally evil system. Can't they speak in English? Can't they make things simple so that the average person can understand it? This is where we're headed. Rich rule the world. Rich corporations rule the rich. It's just unbelievable. I'm gonna follow up on one last comment here, because I just heard that today too. They were talking about this on RT America as well. They were talking about it, and I had heard it before. And you're mentioning that the real national debt is of 100 to 120 trillion. I heard it was over 200 trillion. That's the total debt, in the total indebtedness, loans, grants, just, I mean, everything put together, all the money that's tied up. Right, maybe over $200 trillion, exactly. It's only about $13 or $14 trillion that would be totally screwed, though. But the others are, or their debts either way, but the ones is, the real problem is the Chinese debt. And that's where we're headed, you know, but I think it's just going to get more gloated and more fat. I mean, prices will go up, and hopefully it looks like wages are going up to follow it, but we just have to keep a handle on it and pray that in 3 years plus, 8 months or no, 6 months, we get rid of the problem. Just pray that we can fix this great nation of ours. No, we'll close on one great thing. If you don't have if you haven't looked this up yet, we've got some new folks, and Eric's in there too. Look up We the People. There's a We the People movement. It's not political. It's not Republican. It's not Democrat. It's We the People. They're going out, and like I know in our area, in our area, we have over 500, and that we're a small community. It's building up by hundreds every week. Going out and raising awareness and making changes, getting out to the polls, working with our political leaders. We the People movement. It's supposed to be across the nation, and everyone is welcome to start a chapter in their area or find one that's in existence and be part of it. It's a great movement. We need to do something. We the people, literally. We the people. You, me, all my listeners out there, all the people in this great nation, whether you believe what the other person believes or not, we need to get together. We need to fix this stupid thing. We need to fix our country, our nation, and the world. And we had a great crowd tonight. I'm really appreciative. And invite your friends. And yeah, I saw your last note, Eric. Thank you. And I'm going to say good evening to everybody. We've reached a time where we're turning into a pumpkin. And I'm going to say God bless everyone. Thanks for being here. If you have a dollar or two or five you can support, go to donate.eamedia.online. We have two new great shows as well. Two women have come on board with some really wonderful shows that they're doing on, I believe, Friday nights. So come check their shows out as well on EA Media on Podbean. So everybody have a great night. Until next week, same time, same podcast. God bless everyone. Have a good evening. Good night, everybody.